everybody. Thanks so much for joining me today. We have part two with Trenis Evans, who is the founder of CondemnedUSA.com. He's a January 6th defendant, a documentary filmmaker, and the subject of Bloody Hill. He's an author, a patriot, and powered by God. I love that. He's dispelling the lies and delivering the truth about January 6th in defiance of a weaponized federal government in his terms. Trenis, thanks so much for joining me.
I'm glad you said that in my terms. I wouldn't want you to be canceled anyway.
We were just talking about this. I'm already so suppressed. I am permanently suspended on Twitter. Haven't got back on since Elon came on. I've watched my YouTube go from tens of thousands of hits for every video to like 20 or 30. My Facebook, I would get 20,000 hits per video down to like 20 again. So I'm continuing to try. The funny thing is, Trenis, my husband still has a platform on Twitter. I don't. And I just said, what were my words for you for part two? What did I say?
The amount of comparisons that just went through my head from Ted still being on versus you being censored, I think is quite
And what fun. Did I, what did I ask you when we first started this? By the way, Trenis, no.
I don't know. You know, my wife
no
said,
swearing. I said, let's do part two.
Yeah,
no swearing though, this time. You know so what? Here it's I am, fault. No swearing.
I'm
and you know who,
Ted.
Pardon me?
Blaming Ted. He influenced my mind.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But my point is he gets away with a lot, I guess. And here I am, but I'm glad I'm here talking to you. So give us a 30-second recap of this is part two. People are going to be listening to this on a different day. So in case they haven't heard part one, I encourage everybody to go back and listen to part one, because you're just going to briefly say, talk about
what
January
6th. Happened last time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes. Shemaine and I mounted an insurrection right from the get. No. Oh, no.
Chris,
right.
That's not, you're that's getting me in trouble. So you were at the Capitol.
Nobody planned an insurrection.
You were at the Capitol. I was not on January 6th. You were at the Capitol. I was not on January 6th. And you, in the first part, we were talking about some things that you saw that the Capitol Police were there and not telling you to get lost, not saying anything. They let you walk through.
Yeah.
You came back. Ended up a few week or two later, guns pointed at you and your family.
Yeah.
And you got thrown in jail.
My wife. Yeah. That my 13-year-old's on his way out door to school to get on the bus. And I can't forgive you for that. You pointed guns at my 13-year-old son. I mean, he's in a pair of basketball shirts and t-shirts and a hoodie. I mean, this kid's on his way to school and this is how he starts.
Unbelievable.
And they say, well, then you shouldn't have gone in the Capitol, really, because you should have been there, because then you might know more about the situation. All right. But now I say people are like, oh, well, you know, why were you there? And I go, I don't know. Where the hell were you? They stole an election from the American people and you didn't think it was important enough to go. I don't know. Don't question me about why I was there. I got a better question for you. Where were you? You know, that's my answer to them. So anyway, and I went there to peacefully demonstrate support. We talked about that. We went over that. We covered that. We covered me singing the national anthem, leading the Pledge of Allegiance. We covered that I took a shot of whiskey. Look, if taking a shot of whiskey in the United States Capitol was a crime, Nancy Pelosi had already done multiple life sentences, right? So let's get real here. All right.
You got a point. Plus, when she was ripping up the speech, President Trump's speech.
Being disrespectful was a crime in the Capitol. Then Nancy Pelosi needed life in prison as well. If, you know, actual crime. So, you know, as a part of my sentencing here, I'll give you a little tidbit of what's in there. I haven't talked about this on any show at all, but because I'm a sucker for a pretty woman and I Ted's been great. And you've been great to me. I'm going to do this. I told the judge at one point in the sentencing hearing, this is on paper in the transcript written by the court reporter, that I stepped into the belly of the beast. And I came there to say what needed to be said, to flush out with light and truth, the place where more crimes against humanity, abuses against the American people, and deaths that caused across this globe have come from the evil and disrespectful and destructive United States Capitol.
Mm, wow.
And, you know, I said a lot of these kinds of things throughout the day, which are rather unpopular, I'm sure, with the leftists, but they can, you know, put that in their file that in the 13 or whatever they want to do with it. I forgot. Remember, we got to be careful on the Christian show. I can tell you, You can imagine where they could put it anyway. So I don't want to put it where somebody can't see it, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Where the sun don't shine. So tell me, Trennis, how important your faith has been through all of this.
I want to tell you that in the beginning of this, I was scared. I was scared. I did what the attorney said. I shut up. I cowered. I didn't say anything. I canceled my social medias. I took down everything. I, you know, went silent. That lasted. The attorney and I were arguing. I got arrested in March. About April, I was like coming unglued. I was like, no, this is crap. This is not right. This is not the way it went. And the narrative's wrong. And they're telling the story. And they're telling a lie. And it's got to be. And she was going, no, just keep quiet. Just keep quiet. Just keep quiet. By the summer, I was full-fledged out there. I was on making social media posts and putting everything out there, letting it rip. And I'm only, and my greatest regret is I didn't do it sooner. Should have, from day one, come right out, gone straight to the media. I had an offer from Nancy Pelosi's daughter, Alexandria Pelosi, offered me $25K right out of the gate just to share some of my video with her.
Seriously?
And, yeah. And because this is a Christian show, I did type, I had my attorney sitting there. She's like, what do you want me to say? And I was like, she's all excited. Like, ooh, 25K. And thinking, you know, I don't know, she's trying to figure out how she's going to piece of it or something. And then she says, and she's a good woman. I like, you know, the original attorney. She was a good attorney. Just, we didn't agree on some things. But she said, what do you want me to type? And I said, go. And you can imagine what the next two words were. So
go to someplace.
No, go. Oh, yes,
yourself. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so, and she was like, I can't do that. The media will eat it up. And I was like, the media will eat it up. They're calling me a terrorist. They're calling me a seditionist. They're calling me an insurrectionist. They're saying I'm facing 23 years in prison. They're saying I need to be shot. They're saying I need to be disintegrated and everything else that they can come up with. And you think I'm worried about what they're going to say about my statement? No, they can put that where the sun doesn't shine too. So then I got really vocal. And then Mickey Willis actually was the first person to step up. I don't know, Clay Clark had a role in that too. It was Clay Clark's Mickey Willis Courage 19 Award in San Antonio. And I went to that event and I just asked, I didn't ask to speak. I didn't ask someone to listen to my story. I asked Mickey Willis when he was walking by the aisle, I said, excuse me, can you please pray for the January 6th defendants? You said you're going to be doing some prayer. And he says, do you know somebody? Do you have a name? And I said, well, I said, I'm a J6 defendant, but there's a lot of people way worse off than me. They're sitting in that gulag. They've been there, you know, 9 months, 10 months at the time. And he's going, can you come with me for a minute? And we sat outside and Mickey took the time in the middle of an event, people running up to him, autographs, everything. And he's like, hey, give me a minute. Hey, give me a minute. Hey, you're like, he's got his shield up, right? And listens to the story. Let's tell, here's my story. And he goes, this is crazy. And by then there was more to it too. We'll get into it another time. But he says, would you like to come on stage and ask for the prayer yourself and ask these people to say a few words? And I said, yeah, I would love that. And he says, well, you're not going to freeze up on me. How you do a stages? And I was like, stages, microphones. I never met one I didn't like. Let's go, go, go. You know, this needs to be told. I want to get out there. I want to tell the people, tell the world what's happening to these people. They need to know, because this is a lie, what's being told. And I've got the video evidence to prove it. He's like, you have video? And I'm showing him the video. He's like, well, he's watching it like, then Mickey Willis. I mean, he's, you know, one of the greatest filmmakers, as far as I'm concerned, documentary filmmakers are. I mean, in Plandemics. And he's like, he's blown away with what I have on footage. So he's like, you're singing the national anthem, leading the Pledge of Allegiance in the building. Oh my gosh. Ah, you know? And he goes, just listen, this isn't what I do. This is, I'm going to play. But yeah, you got to tell the story. You got to talk about it. So I go end up on stage. He said, look, you take a couple minutes. About 13 minutes later, poor Clay Clark's like getting the hook. And I had no material, had nothing written, had no presentation. I just got up there and winged it. It was great. I was thrilled with it. Clay was obviously thrilled with it. It worked out great. And I've been back to speak at General Flynn, Clay Clark events now numerous times. Good stuff there. Great people. Thank them for their courage. We keep moving forward, keep doing more. But that's kind of a little bit of the history as it's evolved and how it played out when I started speaking. Then somebody approached me about doing a documentary because of the footage I had and what they know that I did and what I've done to work for other people. So you talk about the faith. The original question was what led us down there. But it was the faith that started the journey. It was, faith in standing up to do something, I think, you know, being there. And then the faith gave me the courage, the frustration to just say, no, you know, this isn't what happened. This is what happened to Peter. This is what happened to Peter. They stood up and they spoke out. They, you know, people came and tried to relegate people into a realm and say, you'll do this or else or what have you. And people throughout history have done this. And I just recognized this and I identified with it. And then I had Lee Valentine has been fantastic. And there was a Word of Faith Fellowship Church in Rutherfordton, North Carolina. And I went to visit with them. And, you know, it's no accident that Lee Valentine fell into my path. And I saw one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I've been to a lot of churches. I've been to a lot of congregations, and I appreciate them all. Steve Say here in Canyon Lake has a great congregation that I'm thankful to be a part of when I can be there, when I'm not traveling or something. But I honestly have spent a phenomenal amount of time at the Word of Faith Fellowship in Rutherfordton, North Carolina, with Lee Valentine and that church, Mama Jane, Papa Sam. They're the just giving people, and they've been such a strength and a support. And they've said, you know, Trinus, and I've gone to my clergy. You know, Robert Agee over at Banners for Freedom has served as clergy for me. And many people throughout this journey have served as a sense of clergy for me and said, you know, look, you got to make this decision. This is between you and God, whatever decision you make, whether you take a plea, you decide to do this, you decide to do that, whatever it is. And I didn't know, I went into that building knowing I wasn't probably supposed to be there going through a window. I mean, I'm not an idiot, right? I mean, you know, that's debatable, I guess, since I went through the window. And we're not going to ask my wife to vote on that because it's just me and you here now. So at least the vote's even, right? The worst. So, but I believe it was important enough to stand up. A little civil disobedience does not mean I'm there for an insurrection. And, I'm thankful to God that I had the wherewithal and the sense and the wisdom to say the things I said, because it is my character. I mean, it's who I am in the first place, but I didn't mean I had to vocalize them, right? So, and then beyond that, the countless people that have been behind this, and, you know, Christians forgive people. We recognize that we make mistakes. We're imperfect beings, right? Made in the image of a perfect being. And recognizing that, throughout this journey, so many people came through, and there were people of faith, right? And like Laura Logan or, you, Ted, I mean, I've watched and watched and watched, and you really start to pick up on it. It's kind of like when you get that new car and then you see all these other people with the same car,
right?
That car on the road.
And you see all the other people, want to take a ride in the new car. You see who your real friends are and who your friends aren't.
Restored my faith. You know, I leaned heavily on the Lord. We do that in times of need. You know, I mean, that's it, unfortunately, as Christians, you know, we're not perfect people. We're not just always, you know, spend as much time in the Word and do what we should do. However, I just had a really unique set of circumstances that it just kept coming at me from everywhere. And it wasn't this pour down your throat scenario. And I didn't need that. I mean, I've always believed that you have your relationship with the Lord, you do it your way. And that's between you and God. Whether you go to four walls to do it, whether you read, stay in the Word, whether you just pray and, you know, to, you know, close your eyes and give them, you know, a moment, whatever it is you do with your faith is your business, how you do it. It's not my job. It's your relationship. It's a two-party contract. I don't have anything to do with that contract. You know, you have a contract with me and a morality and an obligation of being an earthly being, but the only contract in your spirituality is between you and God. It's a two-party contract, and you can choose to be a part of it. You can choose not to be a part of it. I think you're going to want to be holding that contract come judgment day, but you know, that's up to others. I'm here to judge you. I can tell you where the bridge is. I can't tell you to cross it. That's up to you. So the bridge exists. I welcome people to it, and I welcome you to practice in your faith the way you see it. So that is the faith side of this for me, and what's going to, and there's days where it's hard and there's days where it's tough. And I've been able to lean back on those people and multiple people that served as clergy or advisor or spiritually, our friend of the Lord, you know, somebody that I could look back to and say, you know, gosh, okay, I'm having a tough one here today. So eventually, I think rage fueled some of this, anger, vengeance, because I knew what they were saying wasn't true. And I
harnessed it. You wanted to fight back, so to speak, and that's how you got involved. Tell me about Bloody Hill.
Yeah, Bloody Hill, man. The real credit to that film goes to Andrew Mullinax. You know, David and myself being experts on January 6th were there in the realm we were there. Me being a defendant, David having been harassed by the FBI and all of his film crew being defendants that entered the building thinking that their film credentials would do something for him, but that didn't work. And then David not going in the building, he was there serving to protect somebody else that day. He was there, you know, somebody's wife was sent with him and said, don't, you know, make sure nothing happens to my wife. So he didn't go up near the building. So David Summerall, video expert and breakdown on this thing, myself being a defendant and an expert on the situation and really informing the law firm, the legal advocacy, I can't call it a law firm because I'm not a lawyer. And sadly, I could tear a bunch of these lawyers in pieces in a courtroom on the January 6th matter. But that's another story. So then Juan Osaban, you know, the leadership that he has and the knowledge of navigating the system and, you know, over years, David been around since 92 at Stop Hate. Ironically, David Summerall and I were both at the LA riots. And here you go, you're going to blame me again for things happening, right? In 1992, I was there as a curious bystander and David was there similarly. So interestingly enough, but Juan had played a great role in that and bringing a lot of attention to the film. Or the documentary, I should say. But Andrew Mullinax is really the credit. He cons the concept of the seven deadly sins. His faith definitely bleeds through in there. And the direction we were going with it was not as in its purest form like it is now, or like it ended up being, like what you see. And I'm thankful for Andrew Mullinax and what he did there. Sean Witzman was a huge part of that film. You know, Daniel Goodwin, J.D. Rivera was a part of that film. There's a lot of people that you don't recognize, that you don't know, that were there behind the scenes doing so much in that. And most of them were defendants. Everybody but Juan and David are January 6th defendants that was involved in that film. And Juan was there and those film crew. And then, of course, David's, and then, of course, Juan's role being there, just being present. So a very unique film that everybody involved was a January 6th defendant, except for two guys.
Yeah. So, yeah. So what do you know about what the January 6th prisoners are going through?
Oh, gosh. So they talked about, you know, you heard them bragging and talking about the idea that Trump supporters needed re-education camps. So I'll send you that eventually. It's called The Poison Pill and the Gulag. And that was released by one of our defendants, was able to get this information out and show what they're being read is propaganda. It's propaganda information. So in when you're in jail, you can take educational classes. It helps go toward counting time off, what have you. Part of those educational classes, I don't know where these come from, probably George Washington University or Columbia University, which is a whole other story, where Obama granted them like $77 million and they determined who the domestic terrorists and violent extremists were. And then obviously Obama people, and then they became the tenured people who worked for the tenured professors or the draft dodgers in the 60s, et cetera, et cetera. But we can go into that another time. But the as far as back to what you said, so the prisoners, so that was released originally, and the poison pill, which is the re-education camp material, propaganda material about Donald Trump's big lie, Donald Trump and the stolen election, Donald Trump and the violent riot at the Capitol, Donald Trump's insurrection. I mean, if you read this stuff, it's all about Donald Trump. It's all propaganda capital nonsense. And it's the most disgusting impeachment thing we've ever seen. And, it, you know, these are matters. It's like, this is the history books are already written. They've already done this. It's already ready to go, right? The congressional record's intact. The Select Committee did what it did. And they'd like to leave it that way. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Select Committee, it's indisputable that the Select Committee altered video footage of me. They clipped it. They rearranged it. They manipulated the timestamps. They altered the timestamp and changed it. Had I have done with evidence what the members of the Select Committee did, I would be going to prison for over a decade had I have done the same thing. Remember the impeachment hearings where they got busted changing the timestamps?
Yeah.
And check so the, they did what, the same thing to me.
Getting back to what is going on, what they're enduring, what kind of physical abuse,
yeah.
what kind of, what's they've going on in the jail right now?
Yeah, they've been zip tied to railings and beaten. Ryan Samsel, you know, some of these guys lost broken orbitals. How do you get a broken orbital while you're in solitary confinement? Well, there's only one person to do it, right? Guards beating him. Mel Hawley just released an article. Follow her article on that, Mel Hawley, H-A-W-L-E-Y, and that was on Conservative Daily regarding the treatment of the January 6th defendants. And the saddest part is that there's defendants all over the place going through these things, but this is one of the places where we know what CQB has done there. I mean, Wanda Patton and Quincy Booth were both cited by Judge Roy C. Lamberth back in December for civil rights abuses toward the prisoners, and this had to do with Christopher Wardell.
It blows my mind. I always have neck trouble lately because I'm constantly shaking my head. No, I can't even believe this is going on in this day and age. And, you know, we have had people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I think Louis Gohmert showed up at the jail. And then what? And
so, look, MTG's talked about the treatment. Louis talked about the treatment. Matt Gaetz talked about the treatment. What about the cause? What about how we got here?
Yes,
to the fact that
yeah.
people are incarcerated and being treated this way. Let's get that out. Let's flush that out. Let's show the disparity between what else has happened. But anyway, so you're talking about guys that these guys are singing the national anthem every night, 9 p.m. in the jail without fail. 690 something days now.
Unbelievable.
Without fail. These guys that are being persecuted by their country, called terrorists, domestic terrorists, extremists, violent, and they still cling tight. They still hold fast to God. They still hold fast to country, and they still do it for you. And I don't care what your opinion of them for being there is on January 6th. You don't find more patriotism in a place than you find right there with those men in the January 6th DC gulag. Your elections were stolen. These guys stood up regardless of how they did it. You think it's going to be pretty when people actually stand to a stolen election? Do you think some people aren't going to be wearing a badge or a uniform? You think that you're the opposition if we actually stand up and take your country back from tyranny and communism that we're headed into or what we're immersed in now? Do you really actually believe that? You're a fool if you think that there won't be some people from that. It's going to be a tough time. Now, I hope we don't have to get there. I hope that we can do this through the courts and the Congress, et cetera, et cetera. But to date, it doesn't look very good because their track record's a big goose egg and a failure. They don't get anything done. It's a bunch of crap and lip service. But anyway, Louie Gohmert, Matt Gaetz, Robert G. Taylor Greene, they all go to the jail. They get some information. They see some stuff. They make some reports, do some findings. It brings, does flush some things into the light. The Ken Paxton could stop this right now. Ashley Moody could stop this right now.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. So these people, the FBI, and Ted and I talked about this. We had a short talk about this. I didn't realize that Ted had a background as law enforcement. I had no idea that he had this little bit of law enforcement history on him.
He is a voracious reader, and we've supported law enforcement for so long and done so many different charity benefits for them. So it's a huge part of our life. And, you know, we want to make it clear that we support them. And
absolutely, I support law enforcement 100%. I'm behind them, but I'm not behind the law enforcement that beat Rodney King.
No, or right? Beating the political prisoners. How do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night? Is
These
what I want to know.
Were brought in by Barack Obama to run the jails. They were imported here. They are not Americans. They don't like America. They want to see America burn. These people these guys collectively put their paper together and made this big flag to hang up in the pod, right? Hang on the wall in the pod where all the prisoners are. And they came back from a break and they got locked up and they're looking around. Hey, where's the flag? One of these jailers has it under his foot, dragging it outside the cells underneath them. These guys are a bunch of veterans. Don't forget that. These guys put their life on the line for this country. And the ones that aren't veterans, a lot of them are law enforcement. And some of them had the double duty of that. And this is what's happening.
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me. It's despicable. So anyway, think about this. I'm going to throw this at you real fast. I mean, you're going to like this. Okay. Well, you're going to not like it is a problem, but it's
well,
true.
That's the problem. Yeah. But where I do have to wrap it up because I got to go hunting. Go ahead though.
Where is the select committee on this? Where are they? Louie Gohmert. Listen, he's the only one to date. I have emailed Chip Roy. I've sent him the evidence over and over. He's my congressman right here. Ken Paxton knows this. I sat in his office. I talked to Aaron. I talked to Brett. These guys know this. They know that right now, if they would go file a due process violation motion on the FBI, who does not have the authority to effect the arrest in the way that they did them in this state, the way they've done them in the last year and a half, Ken Paxton, that's why I've got billboards up all over the state right now, digital billboards. There's one right up there by you guys, just south of you. I've got a billboard. They're all up and down 35. They're around the state right now and asking for Ken Paxton to uphold due process. And they're sponsored by Condemned USA. Those billboards are up because it's the truth. And I challenge anyone. I'll sit here and debate with any attorney or law enforcement or Ken Paxton himself. Anytime he's ready, let's talk about it. Let's read the plain letter of the Texas state constitution. What it says about Texas state sovereignty, who has the powers of arrest, when they have them, and for what purpose. The FBI is in violation of that. Therefore, that puts Ken Paxton in violation of a three-party contract. Ken Paxton made a three-party contract. He made a contract to uphold the laws of this state with these constituents. He put his hand on a Bible and swore an oath to the Lord that he would uphold it. And so that's a contract between God, Ken, constituent. And right now, as far as I'm concerned, he's in violation of all three parts of that contract and he needs to step up and do his job. Why not? Why aren't we doing it? Because there's not enough pressure. Because it's not popular. It wasn't going to win more votes. And this is RNC nonsense, the political game. Got to stop.
Well, people like you shedding light on this devastating problem. It's really, in a way, I hate to say this, but I'm grateful you've gone through this situation because you are strong. You have had resources to help you get through this. You are bringing light to this, and hopefully more and more people will wake up to see the corruption in our government and what's going on. And for You're people 100%. Who want to find out more and support you, they go to condemnedusa.org or .com.
Well, we have them both. Same thing. The .com is where we started. I never wanted to handle money, but we just realized eventually I can't help people without the money.
Yeah.
But when you ask me about faith, I'll close on faith with you.
Okay.
God put me here for a reason. God put me here to be that firebrand, to be the fire breather guy that will come at this. It stood here and I stood in their court and I called out their corruption. I called out the federal judges. I called out the constituents. I called out the federal government. I called out the FBI corruption. I called out people one after another, after another, after another, and over 200 pages of report. And I stood there unabashed and I told the judge, Pharaoh, do your worst. Give me 10 years. You won't change one thing I say, think, or do. I'm a peaceful man asking for peaceful solutions, but you will not curb my enthusiasm for this country in any way, shape, or form. And it's on the record. Yeah. I always tell people, you know what? A lot of people talk a lot of stuff. You stand there with your feet to the fire under the penalty of perjury, or stand there under your feet to the fire under the penalty of going to prison, and see how much faith you have then. Mm-hmm. Show your faith then. And I stood up there and I laid it out on the table and I took it and I ended up with 20 days and 3 years probation. And it's one of probably the fairest sentences that are out there. And I should have never done a day in jail, but she said I wasn't remorseful. Okay, judge, that's your opinion. You get to make opinions. We have to go by that. And that's what our rule of law demands. So I don't think it's so egregious that I'm going to fight it. I think her opinion is slightly marred by ineffective thought process, but that's okay. I can't control that. Anyway, so she's been tainted by the leftists in Washington, D.C. and the evil within that place. And that's not her fault. Said we'll help her pray it out of her one of these days. So they asked me about the Nazis and what I thought about that. And I told them about Nuremberg trials and those legal lawful courts. And I can't help with all those people swing. If all y'all swing for the stuff you're doing, then so be it. But anyway, faith.
Wow.
Keep your faith. Stay in your faith. And when you stand unabashed, do not give up. Dude, come at it 100%. Live it, love it, and go hardcore with it. Don't mind. Don't bend. Be unyielding. Because it is you. I'm not going to be in a relationship. Look, I get a whole lot less fear of that. I got children here on this earth, and I'm going to be a lot less fear of what a man can do to me than what I can suffer for eternally.
I love that. Thank you so much, Trennis, for being here. God bless you. God bless the January 6th defendants who are currently locked up. We do keep you in our prayers every day. And I hope and pray that this all comes to light, that everybody will see the devastation that's going on, and we can correct this wrong. Trennis, thank you again so much for joining me.
Thank you, Shemaine. Thank you
so much. God bless you.
God bless you.